Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Ross Tucker Podcast.
Caleb Williams. I have some friends that are Bears fans, obviously. I mean, I haven't seen Bears fans as excited as they took Justin Fields 3 years ago. Hopefully this works out better.
Analyst for Westwood One.
Bully ball up front. It's just inside zone to the left. That's as physical of a play as you get.
Ross Tucker with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
If Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift came on, I would rock out because that song's awesome.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to Ross Tucker, and he joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Make sure you check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Check him out on social media, too, at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic, but I actually think that I think most of the Bears fans have my social media now after my last appearance.
They got you. Yeah, quite a stir. That's what we like, Ross.
At Ross Tucker NFL. It's funny because since we do this, you know, on the radio, I never get to see what you guys look like. And Mully, as soon as you asked that question, you got that look on your face like, this is going to be a good one.
You were dying to say it. You know it, Ross. You were about to say it anyway. I just pushed you a little.
Well, as soon as you said, you know, did the Bears pick the wrong guy? And, yeah, I mean, I think they did. Yeah. That doesn't mean Caleb Williams can't be very good. And, you know, I know you guys are going to ask me about it, so I'll just say it. That's by far the best part of getting Ben Johnson, to me, is that I think – whatever Caleb's ceiling is, you know, you're going to get there. You know, you're going to find out how good he can be. And that was the blessing with getting Ben Johnson, why it was so important. But you have to admit, that was a couple weeks ago, and everybody's like, it's way too early to say that, blah, 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 blah. Then he went out Saturday night and sliced and diced the Detroit Lions. I mean, it took a lot of restraint on me for me to not go back to all the Bears fans in my mentions. Like, hey, are you watching the Lions game right now? Are you guys watching that? Hey, did you see that throw by Jaden Daniels? Hey, did you see the fact that the Commanders haven't punted yet? I mean, so listen, in all sincerity, I think Jaden Daniels is probably already like the fifth best quarterback in the NFL. I mean, it's probably, what, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Burrow, Josh Allen, and then Jaden Daniels. He's probably the best quarterback in the NFC already. And so, yeah, I think they probably did take the wrong guy. However, it doesn't mean Caleb can't be good. It doesn't mean Caleb can't be a top 10 guy. And I think we're going to have a great chance to see him do. I just think, I mean, Jaden Daniels, he just had the best rookie season we've ever seen. It was unbelievable.
I think that's definitely the case. You look forward to comparing them along the way. As good as Jaden Daniels has been this year and as much chance people gave them yesterday, how surprised were you that they were blown out to the extent that they were? You were there firsthand.
Yeah, very surprised, because I have that Even Money betting podcast that I do on Tuesdays. And even though I do the Eagles preseason games, and do a lot of work for the Eagles, I took the Commanders with the 6 points. I mean, you know, wow, the way the Commanders had been playing, and also the Eagles, their passing game and Hurts, it had been bad, like bad, you know, the last couple games. And I thought, man, there's a very real chance that the Eagles are going to go to the Super Bowl with their quarterback playing below average football. I mean, think about that. Think about how talented you have to be to go to the Super Bowl with your quarterback basically playing average at best, I would say. But then a bunch of things happened yesterday. I mean, number one, you know, you can't account for the four turnovers, and in particular, three punch-outs. Those were not like these guys just dropping the ball or like a mishandled snap. I mean, those were pure peanut punch. And we all know who invented it, Peanut Tillman. Don't ever forget it. Those were pure peanut punch outs by the Eagles, which really changed the complexion of the game, as did the fumbled kickoff return. That changed things tremendously. So you combine that with Hurts playing the best he had in 2 months, and it's like, good luck to the Commanders. I mean, I talked to several people about this because I was on the sideline yesterday. Ian Eagle and Kurt Warner were in the booth, but I talked to several people about this. Depending on who you talk to, the Commanders had between 3 and 5, maybe if you're stretching it, 6 guys that would start for the Eagles. But Jaden Daniels is one of them. You know, Jonathan Allen would start next to Jalen Carter, and Lou Vu would start next to Zach Bond, but not many. I mean, even Terry McLaurin or Sandra Still, you're kind of splitting hairs there with the Eagles receivers or the Eagles corners. I mean, that's how talented the Eagles are. So if you're the Commanders, it was 14-12. They were right there, but you can't have 3 fumbles, and then you can't let Jalen Hurts have his best passing game in a couple months. You know, they're just not good enough defensively. So, yes, I was surprised. I took the Commanders getting the 6 points. I guess I thought, David, that, you know, if they played 10 times, I thought the Commanders would win 2 or 3 of them. And I thought even the ones they lost, you know, I thought 3 or 4 of those would be within 6. So I thought it was a good bet. And listen, in fairness to me, I was only off by 26 points. Okay? I mean, I was right there.
The thing that blew my mind, Barkley's over-under rushing total was driven up to about 123, depending on your site. And then he ends up scoring that big touchdown on his first carry. He scores another touchdown on his second carry, and by the time he got his third touchdown and they were on their way to 7 rushing touchdowns, he's out of the game and he finishes with 118 yards. Man, is that a tough beat when the guy is owning the game.
Well, yeah, and he only has 15 carries. And, you know, I said, it's really funny. It's amazing how many things go back to Chicago. I said after the first play, I've never seen anything like this Saquon. You know, I've never seen this where a guy had this many long touchdown runs. And I had, you know, people are in my mentions like, you know, you ever see Barry Sanders? Multiple people like, you ever heard of Gale Sayers, Ross? You're too young. Like, yes, I've heard of Gale Sayers. I'm just saying, like, it within the last 20 years for sure, the amount of 50 and 60 plus yard touchdown runs he has, and even the amount of like 30 plus yard touchdown runs. I saw some stat where he has 7 and like the rest of the NFL combined has 10 or something. Like, so, you know, every stat for him is seemingly crazier in terms of these long touchdown runs. Mm-hmm. But the really funny part is, you know, if he had been at the end of the game when Shipley broke that, he would have taken that to the house if he wanted to and would have easily gone. But he only had 15 carries.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And he's only making what? I mean, they gave him a $34 million.
Pretty modest signing in salary.
$37.75.
$12 million a year. So he makes half of what Michael Pittman, the receiver for the Colts,
makes. Wow.
He makes $8 million less than Brandon Cooks, the number two receiver for the Cowboys. They really,
it's incredible.
They really screwed this up.
Well,
I mean, in all sincerity, like they got out of whack, I think, on the importance of receivers and started to undervalue the running backs. And I think the Packers realized it with Jacobs and, you know, certainly the Ravens with Derrick Henry. I mean, they still touch the ball a lot. I mean, they still get the ball a lot. You know, you think about a good game for, like, a Michael Pittman. How many catches do you have? 6 catches? I mean, Saquon probably averages 20 touches a game. So you're going to pay $24 million, twice as much money for a guy that 6 touches of the football is a good day, as opposed to a guy that's probably going to get it at least 18 times a game, 3 times more. I mean, at some point, these guys – The math guys kind of got this one wrong.
Is Saquon Barkley the best free agent signing since Reggie White?
Ooh, I don't know. I have to see a list. That's a long time frame. He's certainly very good. I would actually say no. I would say that. You know why? Because their first team all-pro linebacker, Zach Bond, who had 12 more tackles, a tackle for loss, a forced fumble, then he recovered a different fumble. He's making like $3 million for 1 year, and he's the first team all-pro linebacker. So, I mean, Saquon, obviously incredible. I don't know why we stopped talking about him as an MVP candidate, but I do think that, you know, there are other guys that maybe provide maybe not more value than Saquon, but a heck of a lot of value to be the first team all-pro linebacker for whatever Bond
makes. I know, like, Ross. You're talking about the guy who could be MVP.
They got a really good offensive line, too.
That's true.
The right spot.
That's true.
Yeah, but also, David, good point by Mully, because the Eagles' offensive line preposterous. I mean, I wish you guys could see these guys up close. I played for 5 teams. I've seen big people. I mean, Mailata is 6'8", 370, runs very well, played rugby in Australia. He's like abs. Landon Dickerson at left guard is 6'6", 358 probably.
Wow.
The right guard, Becton, 6'7.5", 365. The right tackle, Lane Johnson, the Hall of Famer, 6'6", 335 with rippled abs. Even the center is a different type of freak show. Cam Jurgens played tight end his first 2 years in Nebraska. He's like a Jason Kelce freak show. I said this before. I do not think it's hyperbole. I think if you just take the – I'm not saying they're the best offensive line of all time at all, because they have mistakes. But I would say in terms of height, weight, speed, athleticism ratio, they might be the most physically gifted O-line of all time.
How about seeing Jalen Carter up close? I wish that happened in Chicago. I don't know how you let that guy go. And I know everybody was worried about his maturity. That looks like King Kong playing football.
I absolutely love him. He doesn't get enough credit
for
his football intelligence. But I always say this with a D lineman, okay? And I played against a bunch. The 3 critical things for a D lineman are, number 1, just the natural freak show ability. Number 2, technique/football intelligence. And then number 3 is just the effort, and you have the dog in you. You can make the NFL with just 1. You can be a very good player if you have 2. Very rare for a guy to have all 3. You know, he's a physical phenom who has great football IQ and end technique, but also is just a junkyard dog. Like, the best guy I ever went against was Richard Seymour. He had all those. That's Jalen Carter. Way smarter than people give him credit for in terms of his football intelligence. But then he just, I mean, every word I'm thinking about to describe him right now, I'm not sure I'm allowed to say on the radio. But, like, I don't know, can I spell it? Can I spell P-R-I-C-K? Because that's what he is. I mean, he has that Jerome Brown junkyard dog in him. He plays like every snap, and he really wants to try to kill the dude. He's from Apopka, Florida. They do not mess around in where he's from, and he does not mess around on the field. I love him. He might get kicked out of the Super Bowl in the first quarter, but I love him.
Quickly before we let you go, Ross, as a former Bill, how do you advise people put into context what happened yesterday and what it does for Josh Allen's stature in the league?
Yeah, my favorite team I played for, I'm very concerned that this one might be so mentally deflating that they kind of go the other way. I know a lot of people are talking about the officiating and the spot. You know, I think we're better than that as a society. I'm so sick of everybody always blaming other people. Mm. How about the personal responsibility or accountability? I mean, how about don't let Mahomes go up and down the field? You know he likes to run in those fourth and short down to the goal line. How about having somebody there late in the game? How about maybe covering the running backs? You know, if you want to, if you're going to do a quarterback sneak, by the way, you're at the mercy of the side judges. I was on the sideline yesterday. It's almost impossible to see where the ball is, where the guy's down. There's 18 gigantic dudes in a huge pile. They should have run quarterback counter or quarterback power or sweep. I mean, how about Dalton Kincaid catching the football? I mean, there's a million things. How about Cole Bishop not getting the ball ripped out of it? Like, take accountability. The Bills didn't make the plays that they needed to make to win the game, and that's why they lost.
I agree with you. I think that they played a good game, but they were beaten. It was as simple as that. Valentine's Day right around the corner. And for the best gift ever, check out myfrontpagestory.com. Right, Ross?
That's well, the told you guys about this a couple weeks ago. It's probably a little early for Valentine's Day. It's not now. Valentine's Day is 2 weeks away. And, by the way, it takes them like a week to write the story. So you can get I don't know if it's like Mully or Haw quality writing. I know you guys are both like former elite writers, but it's professional writer that writes the most incredible story about your wife. Do something different. Life is short. Tell people how you feel about them. Tell your significant other why they're so special, why they're amazing. They will have this frame story written by a pro writer with pictures of you and them and the kids hanging up in the house forever. It's the gift that keeps on giving. At a minimum, go to myfrontpagestory.com right now. Throw your email address in there so you get the immediate email for the 20% discount. Then use it for Valentine's or Mother's Day or whatever. Myfrontpagestory.com, myfrontpagestory.com.
Great stuff, Ross. Thank you, buddy. Always a joy.
Thanks, Ross.
See you, boys.
That is Ross Tucker. Does a great job with Odyssey, and of course with Westwood One.
He's really
on the
good.
Games. He's excellent.
He's tremendous in terms of the insight he brings on the field when he's on the sidelines and in the booth when he's doing analysis. I think he raises an interesting point about the Bills specifically, not to dwell on the team that lost the game, but you do wonder where they go from here because they and we get a couple of texters that have referenced this as well. You hear kind of conversation. Sean McDermott, has he plateaued as a head coach? Josh Allen, can he get over that hump that is blocked by Mahomes? If you're the Bills organization, how do you view this offseason?
It's a good question. You know, Sean McDermott, of course, a defensive coach under Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Now, you know, so he's from the Andy Reid tree, but he's not one of the offensive guys from that tree. And now here you are. And you can't get past Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I think they'd be foolish. It's like that would be like firing Ryan Day because he lost to Michigan and not looking at the bigger picture here. I think they can get over the hump, But it's not easy.
I think it's a really good comparison.
John Harbaugh, you know?
I think it's a good comparison. But I do wonder if I do wonder how they
– It's a blow.
How they overcome the psychological obstacle.
Yeah, it's a blow.
And it is a blow. And do you change things for the sake of change? I don't think that's fair. It would be totally unfair when you look at Sean McDermott's playoff record up until he plays the Chiefs. You look at the regular season success and consistency, and you look at what they've done with Josh Allen. Joe Brady's a big part of that, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Right.
You wonder what his future holds. Big offseason in Buffalo, because when you look at how they got to this point, yes, they were clutch. Yes, they were consistent. They need a number one. They need that number one wide receiver. I think when you look at Amari Cooper –
Well, I mean, you know.
Not at this stage of his career.
They had a pretty good receiver.
They had Stephon Diggs.
And it didn't work out there.
They tried to shake things up there.
They definitely need help. I wonder, do you sometimes think, okay, let's just say that the Chiefs win three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They're not winning four, are they? They're not going to keep going. But does Kelce walk away at some point? He's 35 years old.
You wondered as
does he
toured the field
down?
And
yes.
soaked it all in with Taylor post-game if he was thinking, well, this is the last time I'll be in this situation because he's going to win and walk away.
Last game at Kansas City, right?
Yeah, could have been.
Right.
Could've been.
I mean, that would change them dramatically.
That would make a great song, by the way. It would make a great song.
Well, I'm sure she's going to write it.
Because
she writes every song she writes about an old boyfriend.
She's
got to break up with him in order to write that song
correctly. Or get married. One or the other. Make music together.
Boy, you are so traditional in your views of relationships. Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767 at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben made a decision Monday morning.
Monday morning after the Lions lost?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was the first time we ever ranked the teams. The first time. We weren't ready to do that, and I wouldn't let him do that. The Sunday night after the Lions were defeated by the Commanders was the first time that I was able to finally complete to make Ben a presentation, and his wife, he and his wife, a presentation of all of the information. Allow him to ask questions, allow him to be able to make an informed decision. He woke up Monday morning, called me at, I don't know what time it was. It was in the morning and said, you know, call the Bears and see if you can get a deal done.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is really interesting stuff. That is from what is the name of the
Bears
podcast?
The Bears Banter podcast, yes, with Bill Zimmerman. That was, yeah, Rick Smith, who represents Ben Johnson. And he appeared in a 30-minute interview that was as revealing as anything I've heard on the record from an agent ever.
Yeah.
And in the context of what it means to the Bears in their future, it was extraordinary to hear the level of detail about the news cycle that Rick Smith said he was controlling as far back as November. The process and his impressions of the way the Bears were doing their due diligence and finding out what they didn't know about the rest of the league. And also just the way that Ben Johnson really, there were a lot of misconceptions about what he was looking for in this process, in the ways of alignment, front office, you know, roadblocks like existed in Jacksonville.
Right.
And in this particular cut we're about to hear, he talked about how the Bears were willing basically to give Ben Johnson whatever he wanted.
They didn't blink on any of this. Okay, they didn't blink on the contract negotiation. They didn't blink on the process. They didn't blink on Ben Johnson. I mean, there was no walls put up. There were no impediments you had to walk through. George was well-educated. Kevin did a great job of preparing him before it started of kind of where this is going to go, what the NFL looks like today, both in salary and structure. And I've got all the confidence in the world. And that's, you know, if you want to get into what I, you know, my job in this whole thing, okay, I'm the information gatherer, okay? I'm the guy who has to lead the horse to the water, and then the horse has to drink. So I am on the phone day and night.
I'm sure.
Meetings, talking, vetting. And the Bears allowed me to ask every hard question that you and other fans have been able to ask. It never can ask directly. They allowed me to ask those hard questions. And I wasn't shy. I went down to the core.
Went down to the core, asked the tough questions of all the Bears brass. It just, given our history of covering Bears coaching searches and knowing that franchise, it sounds like they did not hesitate, Molly. The most remarkable aspect of that is that the asking price was $13 million a year. And it doesn't sound like there was a lot of haggling.
Right.
It doesn't sound like he came in at 15 and they met him in the middle.
Define that for me. What does that tell you about how much they wanted him as opposed to him wanting them? I do think he wanted them. That's kind
it
of
it sounds like that big, was what big idea. What really we didn't know.
No, we didn't and know that at
we,
all.
We learned whether it was with our interview on Friday with Ben Johnson, which was terrific. He was great.
Yeah.
Or what we're hearing from Rick Smith behind the scenes and what we heard at the press conference. Ben Johnson identified the Bears as job one, as the place he wanted to be, the destination job, if you will. Maybe he identified that when he was 22 years old and coming to Wrigley Field every year.
Yeah.
Who knows? And he wasn't really clear on when that became the goal. But it was pretty clear in this process, at least, that it was the goal of Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator, would be head coach, when he had every choice he could make. All the teams that had availabilities and openings to choose from, he picked the Bears.
Right. He picked the Bears. But why did they pay him then?
I think because it reflects, and this is the way that we've talked about Kevin Warren, I think, is, you know, he's always spoken thought in grandiose terms. The rhetoric has always been lofty. The goals have always been outsized sometimes. And we look at that in the context of the stadium project and we think, well, you're going to learn Chicago politics and you can't get done what you want to get done because of this. And you know what? I think we're still probably more right than wrong when it comes to that conversation. But what that, I think, overlooks is that philosophy of swinging for the fences, he took to the coaching search. And I think that is what Rick Smith was trying to articulate, did a good job of expressing. This was because Kevin Warren thought big and convinced George McCaskey it was worth it. That this was going to be a worthwhile investment in somebody that they deem is a special head coach or at least candidate. And you know what? This is the price we have to pay in today's NFL. I think that's what it reflects as much as anything.
Yeah, I think there's that. I also wonder if there is a reflection of a certain amount of desperation to get this coaching search right. In other words, while they were doing the mass search, they were getting hit. There were a lot of stray bullets. There were a lot of insults floating their way. Do they know what they're doing? Why are they doing it this way? And then they come out of it with roughly the top dog, right? I mean, out of this hiring cycle, that would be the young coach that everybody was kind of hoping they would get. We were talking about this idea that the way they had set up this coaching search and the way they had brought back Ryan Poles seemingly was at odds with what the best guy out there, Ben Johnson, wanted. It turns out that wasn't true, that it wasn't all about him getting all the personnel control, et cetera. But it seems like he's got a healthy amount of personnel control.
It seems like
he's not going to be pushed. He won't get a lot of pushback if he has something he likes.
It sounds like they're in philosophic lockstep,
yeah,
and they are aligned in a way that we thought it meant contractual. I think that they're talking about philosophical.
Yes.
And
yes,
whether that results in Ryan Poles,
yes,
getting a contract extension or not is almost like the devil in the details. He may or may not, but it doesn't change the way they're going to approach this job. And I think that's interesting to me. Another thing we learned, let's look at the interview process. We were critical of how vast it was, how all-encompassing it was. And I think when we heard Rick Smith explain it, you had a better understanding of maybe what they were looking for.
The extensive interviewing process really is such a great learning experience, okay? When you're that insulated and when you really don't have any idea what's going on in these other buildings, you've got 2 weeks of virtual interviews. Nobody's traveling. There's no logistics. You flip a link on and you start talking. The amount of information, the wealth of knowledge you can learn from talking to all those people is, you can't get it in any other forum in the National Football League but a head coaching interview, literally. And you can get it in free agency too from a player's perspective, but that's a whole different issue, and that's going 100 miles per hour too, and you don't have those interviews with the players. So the coaching side really is that one place. And the Bears did a tremendous job of gathering information, and I'm telling you, a whole lot's come out of that. Ryan and I had a conversation about that the other day and how much they really learned they never thought about. Huh. That they can maybe incorporate a little bit into how they're moving forward.
That's fascinating insight. And also, you talked about, use the word desperation. I think that the Bears faced what they faced reality for maybe one of the few times that we've been able to reference. Rick Smith referred to them as heavily insulated.
Oh, boy.
He's right.
Yeah, but that's hardly a compliment.
It's not a compliment, but I think it's a compliment in the way that they approached that or understood that and faced it head on. Because they were so heavily insulated, maybe they realized that they needed to talk to as many people as possible to find out how they actually should go about building a playoff team or how playoff operations operate and function. It was also a big risk, Molly, because if they did all of that,
yeah,
and didn't get Ben Johnson.
Well, see, that's where I'm going.
Where are you?
See, I think that a year ago they refused to talk to Jim Harbaugh. They didn't even take the time because there was no way they weren't going to keep Matt.
They did not take the initiative.
And they took no initiative, and then they hired the wrong offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they came into this process and identified the guy that they wanted, and then all the rumors are out there that he doesn't want them and that his – you know, he wants to control personnel and all this stuff. Then they have this conversation with him via whatever, I guess it was a Zoom call.
It was a Zoom call, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So they talk to him on Zoom and they understand that that he wants the job and he's willing to take it. Then they have a decision to make. Are we willing to pay for the guy to get him? And you heard Kevin Warren talk about how he's fiscally conservative, but he also believes that you get what you pay for and that you've got to be able. I mean, you heard him.
Let me just say that. Yeah. That's a great reference point because he did say that again.
Yes.
And he said it several times. And there's nothing that we have seen in Kevin Warren's 2 years on the job to make me believe that he's fiscally conservative about anything. Because, you know, if he were fiscally conservative, he would not be wasting the time and money, and that's his terms, time is money, on the stadium project. But
in fairness to him, he did put, by pursuing the city, I'm not saying he did it on
fair
purpose.
Fair enough.
He did solve that crisis of tax issue that
in
he
Arlington
got
a Heights. Okay,
which
fair,
may be where they
enough.
End up.
I think I just chuckled
fair.
When he said that, because you're talking about a guy that just paid $13 million to a guy who's never been a head coach before,
right, exactly,
and made him the seventh highest coach in the league.
But my point is simply that they almost had to pay him and get him so they didn't look foolish to the actual Bear fan.
Roll the dice. It was a roll of the dice, a big gamble, and it paid off. So we're talking about it in these terms. Last thing about, you mentioned the news cycle, you mentioned the manipulation. I thought it was interesting. We all thought that the Raiders were in play because of Tom Brady,
because
of they fired their general manager.
He's doing the game and saying nice things about
exactly,
the guy.
Exactly,
they're
conflict
cheating.
Of interest that we went crazy about. But what happened was, Ben Johnson was out after the Raiders after this, and Rick Smith addressed that.
Initial gut reaction day one on the Raiders was no go, okay? Tom Brady absolutely has an extremely compelling case that gets you to listen. The whole thing, Ben to the Raiders, you know, great sources, all the other stuff, that was never right. However, sometimes, again, going back to my job, sometimes things go viral that you're like, I got to put a brake on this. And sometimes thing goes viral like, no, this is good. I like this. And that viral thing was, I like this. Let's just leave that out there.
That's how you get $13 million.
That's how you get $13 million. You let somebody else be wrong.
Man,
you build a market.
He was nice about Tom, but he did everything but insult the owner's haircut, which everyone does.
It was something else.
That's
about
really
how the Raiders stuff was overstated, inaccurate, however you want to describe it. Bottom line is, Rick Smith was revealing in that podcast, the Bears Banter podcast, and everything fell in place perfectly for the Bears organization.
All right, 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We're going to get to your calls next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I feel really confident about the current talent level already in the building. Going into this season, I felt like this place was a sleeping giant. To be honest with you, I personally was more concerned about the Chicago Bears than I was anybody else in this division.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's an interesting comment. That was from the news conference, the introductory news conference that we heard from Ben Johnson. And, you know, it makes sense. He was talking about going into the 24 season in 2023, the Bears played the Lions pretty tough, and the Bears they had a great run offense, as we recall, in part because of Justin Fields. And they sent a scare through the Lions on a couple of
Lions played a lot of man coverage. Yeah. Justin Fields took advantage of that, running the football himself. Yep. Here's what I think is also exciting about the fact that the Bears got the Lions offensive coordinator who knows them well, is that as Ben Johnson, we understand and expect the offense to be transformed under him.
Yes.
He also knows the best ways to attack that defense, meaning he knows where the weaknesses are because he attacked them pretty well the last couple of years. So he understands maybe personnel groupings, maybe things that work and don't work. He mentioned Andrew Billings being out. I thought that was a really good insight into a knowledge of the Bears roster that maybe not every potential head coach was going to have in the process. So there's going to be an awareness that he has that others wouldn't bring to the job, and I think that was pretty obvious. When you look at yesterday's games, though, boy, you realize just how far the Bears are away, and you realize how difficult that job really is.
Yeah, that is fair. That's a fair comment.
Yeah, like if they're playing the Eagles, could the Bears stop the run? They're not going to be even as good as a defense. That's not their strength. No, they couldn't stop the run against the Commanders. Well, what's good about the Commanders being there that encourages the Bears? I guess if you want to call it not a fluke, that they were there, but they had had a lot of first-time things going. First-time head coach, or first-year head coach, first-year quarterback, first-year offensive play caller. Maybe that reminds you that in the NFL you can turn things around in a year. Maybe. There's nothing in the AFC that's comparable.
Well, is Dennis Allen Italian? Because I think the trend out of the Super Bowl is you need an Italian defensive coordinator. Steve Spagnuolo wow. and yeah. Vic Fangio.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Am I stretching with
yeah,
that?
A little bit. Maybe a little bit. Don't hurt your back there. That's a bit of a stretch. But those guys are football lifers. Both have been head coaches. Didn't work out so well. They found right. their niche, right. carved it well yep. as defensive coordinators.
I believe Spags was once a interim coach. I mean, I know he's coach of the Rams. He was also an interim coach, head coach with the Giants at one point, mm-hmm. wasn't he? So I don't know. And, of course, we know Vic was in Denver as a head coach. Fred is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Good.
Yep.
How are you?
I'm sitting up here in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, and I watched those games yesterday, and I watch Jalen Carter, and I think about, oh, man, if we'd have hung on to Roquan Smith and put him in the middle, Bugs Bunny would have been coach of the year. Anybody. Those guys are game wreckers.
Well, Jalen Carter is the one that they didn't necessarily get away. They never got. They never drafted.
No.
They passed.
No.
They traded down. And
yeah, they traded down a spot.
They got Darnell Wright.
Yeah, they got Darnell Wright.
And the Roquan Smith deal unrelated to that, but those are two players that you could, had things gone a different way, had Ryan Poles viewed it a little differently, might have been Bears.
You know, the fact of the matter is that we know that, you know, Jalen Carter was involved in this accident. They were speeding in cars, and two people died who were racing him, and he left the combine to go talk to police, and it was like a huge story.
It was erratic.
And the Bears felt
he was erratic at this combine.
They felt that they could not control him given the way their locker room was. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's accurate. I mean, I don't know if they could have controlled him, couldn't control him. It makes you wonder what kind of culture they got, whatever. But they came to the conclusion that he couldn't be their guy. Meanwhile, Philadelphia, different situation. You know, veteran players, a really well-controlled locker room, guys that he had played with in college.
Winning culture,
winning team. So they could bring him in, and now they have a guy that looks like he will be a future Hall of Famer. He's that dominant a player.
Yeah, you can see that already.
So I don't want to keep hammering that idea, but yeah, that's
a Warren Sapp-like ascension. A guy who was maybe
right.
you know, dropped in the draft for personal reasons and
right.
looks early on like he's going to have that kind of career. No doubt about it. That's why the Eagles feel like they can wreck game plans, and the next one to wreck would be the Chiefs and Andy Reid. I don't know how well they will do, but he will be in the middle of everything. I want to get to the point before we break, Molly. Ian Cunningham, who is
yes
perennial candidate for general manager jobs,
assistant GM.
The latest is Jacksonville, which fired Trent Baalke to clear the way for Liam Cohen. Now has interviewed, according to Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports, they are going to interview him.
Well, that would be great. That would be a good thing to see.
Because the Bears would get draft compensation if he gets the job.
They get two third-round picks, right?
Yeah. He reports that the Jaguars have put him on the list. Keep an eye on that one. And if it happens, then the Bears will benefit from that. And you do wonder about, now that Ben Johnson is here, does he replace? Is he in philosophical lockstep with Ryan Poles? Is that the partner that is going to be evaluating talent more than, you know, an assistant general manager would? Is if Ben Johnson has as much juice as we think, doesn't his voice?
I would imagine
carry the loudest.
That if Ian Cunningham leaves, then Jeff King would get promoted into that position. He just seems like the next guy up. And I would imagine that as far as the control that the coach has, I would say that he's probably going to get what he wants. If he is the guy that says, hey, we got to get a running back here and we got to draft him high. I mean, but I would wonder if he's the offensive guru he is, doesn't he want more help on the offensive line?
I would think so. Jeff King, by the way, also referenced by Rick Smith as the unsung hero in this process. Rick represented him as a player. He's now in the Bears front office. I think that helped with a lot of the relationships behind the scenes, a lot of the knowledge and getting to know what guys liked and the communication process enhanced by having somebody who was in the building and familiar with the representative for Ben Johnson.
Yeah, that does definitely help. All right, we've got a lot to get to, and we'll do so next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
And I watch Jalen Carter, and I think about, oh, man, if we'd have hung on to Roquan Smith and put him in the middle, Bugs Bunny would have been Coach of the Year.
What's up, Doc?